I'm Selena Sage, and Live Free is for our collective liberation. Namaste and welcome. Today, the inspiration is here to share a quote that I read yesterday and also an excerpt from my latest book, Finding Freedom Where You Are. And it's all about the observer. So this quote by Jay Krishnamurti was so profound. You know, I love that word, so profound. And the quote is, "When the observer becomes the observed, know that you have arrived. When the observer becomes the observed, know that you have arrived." So there's so many layers to this simple statement, and on the surface, it feels somewhat mysterious, but if we can break it down a little bit, I think that you will see he is actually pointing to the whole truth just with this one sentence. So what is the observer? I'll share an excerpt from my book to kind of like get to this idea of what is the observer. So the pointing in Finding Freedom Where You Are is what is felt at the position of the seer, which sees your thoughts. And the accompanying perspective is as follows. The seer, also called the observer, watcher, or witness, is the position within you that sees and is able to recognize thoughts. Your attention moves here when someone asks you, "What are you thinking?" To experience, simply close your eyes and watch thoughts pass by. The seer is that which sees the thoughts pass through the screen of your attention. What is felt at the position of the seer? So this page is really meant to help you experience this concept instead of just using words to describe it. So to match Sri Krishnamurti's quote, we'll use observer, seer, observer, same thing. So the observer is the position within you that sees and is able to recognize thoughts. So as used in the book as the example, if I ask you, "What are you thinking?" You close your eyes and you see that there's something within you that is kind of scanning to see what the thought is that is present. And a lot of times that question is already sort of taking you into a Zen place where your attention is now spread. It's not focused on any one thing. So the common answer is, "I don't know what I'm thinking," or "I'm not thinking anything." But if you just allow your attention to kind of settle and sit back and just shift into this inner position of seeing any thoughts that are arising, you're just noticing them. So the observer is that which is noticing any thoughts that arise. So if I say red elephant, don't think of red elephant. If you see a red elephant, or if you're trying not to think of a red elephant, that observer is kind of noticing all that playing out. It's noticing either the visual or the effort to shift the attention to a different thought or different idea. And so if you just sit still for just a moment, with your eyes closed if you're able, just allow your attention to kind of zoom out and just become aware of anything that is arising or floating by. And if there are no thoughts coming, if there's just this emptiness, the observer is noticing that emptiness too, is noticing that lack of thought. And so this observer is just this seeing of the scene thoughts or the scene visual that's arising. It's arising and passing away. It's just moving on. So the observer is witnessing that whole play. And that's why there's so many different names for this seeing: the seer, the observer, the watcher, the witness. It's just noticing all of the things that are floating. I think of it as like floating through the screen of our attention. And if we sit long enough and shift out of the energy of the thought to the observing of the thought, then we feel this kind of like calming sensation, because no longer are we entangled in the thought. Now we're observing it. So that's the best way that I can kind of help to point to this observer, this seer, the seeing that is happening all the time. We're just usually not aware of it. So going back to Sri Krishnamurti, he said, when the observer becomes the observed, know that you have arrived. So he's taking it a step further. So we've identified the observer, but he's saying now, when that observer has been observed, when you recognize the existence of that observer, and you know that you are the witnessing of even the witness, then you have transcended even the state of consciousness to this ultimate state of awareness. And accompanying that in Finding Freedom Where You Are, it's kind of like summary thoughts from the first section of the book. I pose this question: consider what recognizes but is unaffected by both the seer of thoughts and the seen thoughts. So it's the same kind of shift to that which is prior to the observer and the observed thoughts. So if you can just sort of sit with that and recognize that you are that which is even aware of the observer. And in that way, now the observer becomes the observed, because you are shifting to the state which is even prior to that. And it is a nameless state, but there are words used just for the sake of communication. We can call it the self-awareness, the Tao. This is that which is even prior to the observed thought and the observer of thought. So I think of this another way. If I use the example and I say, I am Selena. So I am Selena is a thought. So that's very specific. I'm creating this pointed attention that's directing it to that identity, that recognition. Now, if I remove my name, if I just say I am, I've shifted to a level prior to that. And this is the state of consciousness. It's the observer, the I am. And now prior to that, if I just say I is the all-encompassing. It is that state that we call the self. It is because it is this original state. It's prior to any identification and even the observation of identification. The I is where and when the observer becomes the observed. And so when we remain as that ultimate awareness, Sri Krishnamurti is saying, then we know we've arrived. It's from this state that there's no thought that I'm enlightened or anything like that. It's just this awareness that the whole world is coming into play because of thought. And in that way, it is illusory. And so the true infinite source is just silence. It is just the I. And this recognition is freedom. And though that would be a perfect place to close, I have the feeling of opening a book by Sri Muji, one of my favorites, White Fire. And I just thought I would do a spontaneous opening because I feel that Sri Muji would have some great wisdom to add to this reflection. So I'm just going to take a deep breath. Open the book. And there are many quotes. And I'm just going to read the first one at the top of the page. Sri Muji says, "In the midst of the common, the worldly, the mundane, is the ineffable one. Knowing this, one lives happily through all states. This is the secret that only the sage knows and enjoys and reveals to those whose time has come to flower into divine understanding." Beautiful. So I'll read that again. "In the midst of the common, the worldly, the mundane, is the ineffable one. Knowing this, one lives happily throughout all states. This is the secret that only the sage knows and enjoys and reveals to those whose time has come to flower into divine understanding." And as I sometimes do, as a writer and a thinker, I'm going to get the exact definition of ineffable. So I commonly use my devices as a dictionary. So ineffable means too great or extreme to be expressed or described in words. So a synonym is indescribable, inexpressible, beyond words, beyond description. Beautiful. So Sri Muji is saying the ineffable one. So that one, capital O, which is beyond description, indescribable, inexpressible, beyond words. This is the self, the Tao, awareness. It's beyond words. It's beyond the ability to name. But we use these terms just to provide the same point of reference. But it's infinite. So to put it into words would be to limit it in some way. So in the midst of the common, the worldly, the mundane is the ineffable one. So this self, this awareness, this oneness always exists. It is within and all around all things. And Sri Muji says, knowing this, one lives happily throughout all states. And when I read that, what I take from that is all states means this shift from personhood, consciousness, awareness, and all of the different states that happen, especially in this personal identification. So when we're going through the changes of life, this is felt to be very personal. We're very attached to our identity. The I am Selena, insert your name. That is the state of personhood. But knowing what we know from these great masters, we can also shift to different states of beingness, from that of identification with the person to shifting to this state of observation, to be the observer, to watch these thoughts come and go, to be removed even temporarily from our identification as the person, and then to this ultimate awareness and being as that, being that ineffable one, to be the silence and the stillness that is our truest nature. But Sri Muji says, you know, we live happily throughout all the states because we know that this oneness always is, was, and will be. This is the secret that only the sage knows and enjoys. So with this realization, there's just this lightness of experience. We don't take anything too seriously because we recognize that all things change and pass away, but that our truest self as the changeless does not. And so the sage knows and enjoys this and reveals to those whose time has come to flower into divine understanding. And whenever I see flower, I always think of the lotus. And so we know that, as Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh, beloved Thay, always loved to say, no mud, no lotus. So the mud that I think about in this personal experience is the suffering, all of the things that we don't want to happen. But oftentimes that pushes us to recognize our true divine nature. And when we are ready for that, all of a sudden, there is an openness that happens within where we're able to take in this wisdom of the masters and see it in a new way. It no longer sounds like gibberish or buzzing in our ears. There's this openness to just allow the absorption of this wisdom to come within us, to recognize our great opportunity for freedom in this moment, that it doesn't take anything more. We can be free now. We can enjoy life now. And I'm inspired to share this great video that I saw. And it was a video of a radio segment. And the host asked two guests, you know, if I were to offer you $10 million now, would you take it? And both guests said, yeah, absolutely, of course. And he's like, yeah, of course. Who wouldn't take $10 million if offered? And then he said, what if I offered you this $10 million, but you couldn't open your eyes, you wouldn't wake up tomorrow? Would be your last day, would you take the $10 million? And immediately both guests said, no, absolutely not. So the host said something, yes, profound. He said, so that means that just waking up is worth more than $10 million. And so the guests were like, whoa, never thought about it like that. And so that means when we just wake up, we have an opportunity to celebrate our ability to experience, to live, to love, to be happy. This is worth more than any material thing. And even though we put so much weight on the material in our human experience, when we are given a choice, like what this wise host gave, we suddenly recognize the wealth that we already have, the opportunity that we have for happiness in this moment. And so this same opportunity exists for ultimate freedom, to recognize our true infinite nature, to flower into divine understanding, to open the petals of your own lotus and bask in the infinite light of your own being. This is bliss. So I'll close with, again, the wisdom of Sri Krishnamurti. He said, when the observer becomes the observed, know that you have arrived. So our opportunity in this moment is to first recognize this level of the observer, and then shift to the level of recognizing even that observer. And then remaining as this stillness and silence. And in this way, we are free as the ineffable one, the oneness, the infinite peace, beauty and freedom and bliss and love that is our true nature. And of course, that is what I always wish for you. And I thank you so much for being here. Namaste.